Welcome to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. This is the Women of FinTech chapter, and we are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. Today, I am super excited because we are joined by Lisa Lead, PR and Communications Manager, specialising in FinTech. She's also a FinTech power listee from Innovate Finance, and she is here today to share how she walks the talk for inclusion in our sector, and more importantly, what more she wants done. Lisa, it is great to have you here and you are live in the studio. It's so exciting.
Thank you. Always exciting to come and speak about diversity and what's going on in the fintech realm. And yeah, and also just to explain how different journeys can look going into fintech.
Yeah, absolutely. So give us a bit more of an insight into you and your role.
So what I do is I head up PR and comms for fintechs, helping out in many areas, whether it's, you know, helping get the messaging right, the tone of voice right, all the way to your standard blogs, press releases, social media, helping out with the website, online presence. Got a few exciting things coming up, actually, including a book launch for one of my clients. But yeah, so what I really do is actually help founders find their voice and ensure that they are represented correctly externally and within the market. But I always make sure that they stay true to themselves because there's no point. You can spot a fake very quickly. So very much making sure that they are saying the right thing and that they, yeah, continue to stay true to themselves.
Mm. And you're such an expert in this field, like having had such a vast visibility of who's doing what, how they're doing it, missions, values, cultures of businesses. Tell us a bit more about your career trajectory, how you got into this space and how you've sort of risen all the way to the top.
Yeah, all the way to the top. That's very kind of you. I actually started out in journalism. I always wanted to write stories, tell people stories and actually make sure I love research and I love finding out more about why something is happening or why that impacts the widest, like the wider world, society, economically, whatever you have. So when I was actually editing the newspaper at uni, I thought, this is it, I'm going to be a journalist. And I think the way that it ended up happening was I actually got told by one of my lecturers, actually, you should think about going into fashion. You're way more editorial, you're way more features and profile driven. And actually, I think that ended up helping me get to where I am today because I did fashion PR for a small stint and applied for a load of jobs. This is what, 2015. So I must apply for hundreds of jobs. I think I got about 8 interviews. And then I got about 3 offers. And 2 of them were in magazines, fashion magazines. And the other was a fintech. And I had no idea what fintech was. I had no idea about finance. You couldn't have asked me any question about finance. I didn't have a clue. The only reason I ended up choosing actually was because it was a 9-to-6, 5 days a week, which we kind of know isn't necessarily the truth when you get there. Mm. It was a startup. I learned so much, had a great manager and, you know, he and the other woman as well. They taught me a lot. They taught me how to just do loads of different things. And also I realized how much I enjoy doing startups. I ended up at Fractal, now TomatoPay. I believe the business is being sold for about 4 years after that. And that's really where my career kicked off. Very fortunate, Nicholas Heller, who was the co-founder and CEO, and actually it's very important to mention this, having male advocates and people who are also speaking about saying, try everything. We're not here to chastise you. We're not here to say we're going to diminish your pay when it comes. If you get something wrong, just go out there and figure it out, forge your own path. And, you know, obviously for the betterment of the company, but also this is something for you as well. And he was a huge advocate of that. So was Gaurav Kachyal, actually. He was the CPO there. They taught me 2 very different things. One, to how to be very business-minded and take risks. And the other, with Gaurav, actually was a very culture mindset and why that is so important to the growth of any business from startup to scale-up. And also actually just staying very true to who I was. And I credit them too hugely, again, it's why it's so important to have male advocates as well as women in the fintech industry, which, you know, it does skew towards men. And I'm going to be very, I'm sure so many people have said that and I'm going to say it again, but it's true. So the reason I say actually the profiles and features bit is actually so important. It actually taught me how to get deeper into a founder or into anyone actually that you're writing about and find out who they are, why they're here and what they actually want to talk about. And that making sure that resonates with, you know, the market, but also resonates with them because they can't go out and speak at events, they can't go out and do PR if they're not actually being true to themselves and it's consistent. Mm. Very long-winded way of saying that, yeah.
But so exciting, and this is exactly what I wanted you to share with the audience, because it's almost like that sliding doors effect, isn't it? Imagine if you had gone down that fashion route,
yeah,
you know, and like how much you've impacted the fintech world. And just everything you said there about having advocates that are teaching you, putting you on that steep learning curve, but also with your mindset and attitude to be able to take all that on. And what a great bit of advice that, you know, you can go into the features and that can be your specialism. Because now when we actually look at fintech and what is so needed and so powerful, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, with all the new mission-led focused businesses, it's just a match made in heaven. So I'm super excited you shared that story. But also, you are a big believer in equality. You are somebody who drives the conversation for equality, that's helping people behave in more equal and equitable ways within workplaces. Tell us a little bit about the challenges we face as an industry.
So, to be very blunt, the challenges we face is we're still not listening to women. I don't think we're not trying, I just think we're not doing it properly. And we can talk about women's equality and needing more women at the top and the gender pay gap, which is, I believe, last year Innovate Finance EY did a report saying it was 22%, the gender pay gap in fintech, whereas it's like 14.6 across all other industries. But we can talk and talk about this, but if we don't actually have any action afterwards, then it really means nothing. If anything, actually, you've made women do the groundwork, say, you know, we have to speak about this, have to speak about this. We've created the content, we've done the events, we've emotionally put ourselves on the line to be listened to by a smaller percentage than we would have hoped, to be quite honest with you. And then for no one to actually put any action on it. It has to be everyone. It can't just be women, it can't just be men, it can't be just other people who identify as non-binary. It's completely on all of us to have actions to actually make, you know, why are women not getting the same pay for a same job? Why are women not at board level? Why are more women not at board level? I can go on. I can say so many things, and hopefully that answers your question. But yes, I very much believe that we actually have to think about more now the action versus the saying. It looks nice, but we're done with how it looks. We need it to actually, we need to see it in our bank accounts, to be quite honest. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really reflective of 2023. You know, there's almost like this diversity fatigue. As you say, so many people had put themselves on the line previously to say, this is the experience, I will be open so that we can work out how we change this. And the change didn't come. Mm. And it's really important that you are sharing that from your perspective as well. So this whole conversation actually helped us put together an amazing bit of work that we started last year. We started it in Black History Month. And for anyone that hasn't followed it, Lisa is, if I can call you, the brainchild of the FinTech Guide to Advancing, Cultivating and Elevating Your Black Talent. And essentially, we put together a 12-step, 12-month program where we have every month we are releasing articles from different specialists across the fintech space, making it super easy for people who want to be advocates, who want to be allies, to actually put their steps forward to drive better advancement, better cultivation and better elevation of their black talent in the workplace. I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit more about your thoughts around that, where it all came from and the goals that we have, but also some of the results we're hoping to achieve.
Yeah, super proud I could have been a part of this, definitely. And I think actually you can't be a feminist if you are not looking at how to help other disenfranchised communities. And I know there's different strains of feminism, but I believe if you're helping one community, it has to really help the other communities. And I'm mixed race, but I have privilege with that. It's the same with women. Men need to speak up for women. They have the privilege of being a male. Same with me, same with others. Actually, what we need to do is we need to look at this, look at what we have created together as an initiative. There's some incredible authors on that initiative, by the way. And we need to all actually step up and take action. We can't just let, you know, those within the black community have to be the only ones speaking about it. It comes back to the fatigue, doesn't it? Because I'm sure I'm tired. I'm sure everyone
I'm
is tired.
You're tired,
exactly. I think
it's emotionally exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And even talking about it, it's just like the black community are tired. They don't want to have to keep talking about it. They want to be like, where's the action? How has this benefited us as a community? And then I think what we forget every single time, I feel like I'm skipping between two kind of movements here, but I believe it's all very much interlinked. What we're forgetting here is that women, having women at like board level, having women in senior positions, it helps the bottom line of company. McKinsey, I think, did a piece of work a few years ago that I think every one of us has referenced for International Women's Day, for Women's History Month, but also reference for Black History Month. It's the same. Having diversity, whether it's the Black community, whether it's the Asian community, whether it's whoever it is, having diversity within a team will be better for your bottom line. If you really want to be cynical about it and look at it from a financial point of view, helping each other and actually being taking actions versus just speaking about it is going to help you financially. So I hope that answers that question. But I think what everyone should really do is download the report. It's on Harrington Star. There's actions there that can be taken. And they're very much actionable. And they're very much, they're not to judge. It's to say, open up the conversations and actually come back with feedback and say, this worked, this didn't work. And yeah, it's about opening up the conversation further to create action. If I say action one more time, I think everyone's going to just stop listening. But the point is, we do all need to. So
yeah, absolutely. And look, this is why I call the podcast Walk the Talk, because there has been so much talk about this. And there is this awareness through so much data. The data proves it. The research proves it. You know, we know that the more diverse a board, the more diverse a company is, the more perspectives you have, the stronger that business will be. But we still, as an industry, have this huge issue with connecting business success and inclusion. Inclusion is still put as a luxury item. And I really felt that as a recruiter within this space, and a recruiter that really stands by, but by this point, that we can't be looking at people if we're not looking at inclusion. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is, you know, the two are the same. But I really felt that last year, that we were, and that inclusion was put on this luxury item agenda, which is why I'm so happy that we put together the FinTech Guide for advancing, cultivating and elevating your Black talent. And it's been so powerful. But I think we probably need more guides like this, more action like this, more steps that people can take in the easiest way possible. Having been in the industry since 2015, as you said, how far do you think we have come for inclusion? Because I think it's quite easy for me just to focus on 2023, which I think we took a step back. But there were steps of progression before last year. So what are your thoughts?
It's a really good question. With my experience, do I believe we have become more inclusive? I think we were making headway before the pandemic. We were making headway. I'm not going to say it was even on, if you're going to level it, say a good level, but we were making headway. And I think fatigue took in afterwards. And I actually think we have gone back. I don't think we are as inclusive. I think with my own personal experience, what I have going for me is actually my age a little more. People are listening to me more because I have so many years of experience versus me being a woman, because I do still see I get cut off way more than men in the room. I don't think I'm listened to 100% or to the level that the other men are being listened to, considering there are things that are forgotten or missed when I say it. And I don't, again, it comes back to listening. I don't think they don't want to. I think they're just not able to understand how to listen properly to women, and it's still the biases they have in their head. And I think we're actually nowhere near as close as we think we are, unfortunately. It comes down to actually listening and then taking action versus half listening, doing the vocal work and saying, you know, posting something on social media and saying we're here to listen. No, if you're listening properly, you'd actually hear there's probably two or three actionable things you can do probably within that week, month, year to actually make the lives better of other women within your firm. My answer to that is, I think we started making good headway, but ultimately fatigue did set in. But also, I think, as you called it, a luxury item, with the economic situation as it is, diversity took a backseat, and that was the wrong way to go about it.
Mm, absolutely. And when we think about, you know, the purpose of podcasts like this, I'm always trying to encourage people to know what that action should look like. And I think in this pod, like, you've shared so much already, and I think that listening piece, but really listening, listening to learn rather than listening to cut someone off and say, oh, I did listen, but you didn't. If there is one thing that the audience could take away from having listened to you in the podcast, and that is for that audience to go and be more inclusive in their workplaces, what is that one thing you'd want them to be doing?
I might have two things, if that's okay.
That's definitely good.
I think the first thing is actually, from my experience and from my background, I shouldn't actually be here in the position I'm in today. It's not just because I'm a woman, it's not just because I'm mixed race, it's actually even my economic situation with my family when I was growing up. I shouldn't be here today. I think what everyone needs to do is kind of stop judging everyone on face value and what they should look like, or what they perceive a person should look like in this industry. I've had the opportunity to manage so many fantastic young people that they would have never got in fintech if, you know, they didn't get the chance to, but also from their economic background, their cultural background, even if they're part of the LGBTQ plus community. I'm actually using one person in my head as an example. We brought him in, he has done fantastically. And he would have even said, I never would have imagined I could. And it has been a struggle. And I think he got very much judged as well. I know we're talking about women here and I'm bringing up a guy, but I do, again, believe that all of our struggles are interlinked and we all are here to support other communities. But I think we need to stop judging what someone in fintech should look like and if they can do a good job just based on that. And I think we need to stop that first and foremost. But secondly, just I think we need to listen a little better. Myself included, I'm not perfect. I get excited when we talk as well. but also, men do need to get involved. And everyone actually needs to get involved because we can't do this on our own.
Absolutely. And I absolutely applaud everything you said today. Inclusion, after all, includes all of us. We need to listen better. We need to be more actionable. Make sure we follow up on the conversations that we have. Lisa, it's been such a privilege having you in it with us today. And I love all the work you do for so many different companies across the industry, from your publications to your feature pieces. I can't wait for this book launch. Is there anything you can't do? I love it. So thank you for joining us on FinTech's DEI Discussions. Let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.